So this is Nancy Shipley Rubin in February 1st conference call. This is the second of three. And 2013. So I want to start with acknowledging all the good work that you're doing and to empower our crystal. So just close our eyes here for a moment. Take a nice big breath into our heart space. And just set your intentions for the call. And we're just going to place all the energy of the work today into our crystal so that it'll activate comfortably with ease through this next learning curve. And when you're ready, you can open your eyes, take a nice big breath into your heart, and just acknowledge expansion. Expansion. So our focus today is the safety fields and working with the open and closed on a deeper level, acknowledging that it is safe to feel good and that we want to practice generating fields. I also just want to take a little time to deepen the experience of what we worked with in our last session by explaining something that happened to me, because often I go through the process as a student as well as a helper. And so what I noticed for me was that in acknowledging that it was safe to get my needs met, as it went into my energy systems, it started touching upon the parts of myself where basically I had deactivated my energy field. So what we were learning is that when we have had a need, especially from early childhood time, that was not safe in the family or it was not safe for that need to be met, we deactivated or basically closed down the magnetic field around that need and then built belief systems that basically stopped us from asking or expecting that this need could be met in our life. And it's a complicated endeavor. It may be in that part of this ends up setting our spiritual focus. For me, the sense of losing the ability to feel love or to feel that it was safe to be loved put me on a lifelong pursuit towards understanding and working in the power of love. There was any time that ever was, what do you need? I mean, instantly I was talking about the power of the need to be loved. So I'm not saying that this is necessarily a detriment, but it puts a lot of grist to the mill, so to speak, as we're growing up through our life. So as we're coming into a new time and we recognize we need a new energy foundation, part of our goal was to go find where our energy was stopped, where we had closed down energetically, and to take the wisdom to open this part of ourselves back up again. And in some ways, it's very funny because we're almost making ourselves wrong if our belief is that it's not safe to be loved and it would be impossible for anyone to love us on some deep level that we would believe that. We have to take that ego structure and say, I'm sorry, you're just too lovable. You're just too wonderful, and people want to love you whether you want to get it or not. So that the universe is like nudging us along, wanting to get us to understand that from a spiritual point of view, that it's time for us to change our mind, time for us to restructure the way we respond to our needs so that it comes back and it creates a feeling of safety and a place where we know that it's possible. And all of this is an aspect of the wisdom mind, where the part of our brain that creates spiritual connection and safety is active so that we can call for these qualities into our awareness and be able to experience them on a visceral level. It's safe to get your needs met. So what happened for me as I was energizing this process, and I put a lot into the first class, and so when I came out of it, I felt like, oh, I need to lay down for a while here. It was really intense. And so that I went way inward, and where I found myself as I was dealing with sniffly nose and a little bit of the flu myself, it was in a feeling of being in a vacuum chamber. And the intensity of my childhood, living with very angry family members who basically vented their anger a lot in the environment, which my craving was to have a sweet little wonderful ducky universe and that everything was all wonderful. And the intensity of the anger basically kept pounding me back into a smaller and smaller place, to a point where under the onset of that kind of sadness, anger, and frustration I was experiencing my family, I literally just went away. I lost my voice, and I went into this vacuum space. And when we talked about this in relationship to our body and our vitality center, the part of us that opens to life as a child and feels that sense of openness in the world, I moved that energy and that vitality space into my dream time. So that I literally would do very, very well when I was off in nature and by myself. I was a very happy camper. But when I would come back into the family, I would feel myself closing down and going darker and darker. Well, guess what? I found myself in that dark vacuum this last week process. And in this vacuum, I recognized that I had made a decision that the world was dark. There was no way that I was going to be able to feel that sense of light or feel that sense of connection. And what it did in my nervous system is it made me have an aversion to actually want to be around anybody. I just wanted to close the door and not have any connection whatsoever with anybody. And I gave myself permission for about 3 days to just rest and sleep and connect, feeling that there was a healthy side to that, but that there was also that in the process of it's safe to get your needs met, some part of me was sitting in a space of absolute absence. And I realized that I had never activated my energy field in that absence and emptiness. I just had been so overwhelmed with the sense of the dark that it didn't ever, ever make sense that my light would come through. So I had protected my essence by keeping it hidden. And I remember when someone, an astrologer, said to me at one point, they said, that I lived in exaggerated light and dark, and that if I wasn't generating light in my life, I'd be living in the dark. So some part of me took that as some aspect of my destiny, but in my awakening, and I felt it was the strength of this program we're in that gave me the ability to stay conscious and make different choices, I realized that I didn't have to just stay absent and empty and disconnected, that I could be in my body in a new way. And then I could choose whether it was appropriate to be with company or making phone calls or working on the computer. I could choose my sense of privacy rather than hide, close off, and make a case against the universe. And I attribute, again, this work to giving me the ability to stay conscious of a pattern that probably has been affecting me on and off most of my life, especially when I would get into intense overwhelm, where that often my excuse in order to give myself that level of privacy would be to get sick and to go away. But I didn't rest in that space. I only hid. So it's safe to get your needs met kept coming back around and around in my heart, and I could feel the fragmentation. And I made a new decision, a decision that it was safe. And it was safe to feel good. And I had a talk with my sister, who was one of the angry aspects, and I brought a level of comfort and understanding to my relationship to her. I don't think I ever realized that when I came into her life right at that time, she had just lost her dad from a sudden accident. She was in a family that she didn't know how to relate to, and here I was. So that there was a compassion and an understanding that when we come to any family of origin work, we recognize that the way through it, the way to break the pattern, is to bring understanding and compassion to what happened to the other person. And to then understand in our own heart that the biggest piece here is not what happened inside to me, but what I didn't learn how to do. And what I didn't learn how to do in that situation with my sister is I didn't learn how to trust and feel safe to generate my light into the world. And so that from this time, I've felt very vulnerable, like some of my old safety mechanisms or places that I had gone for refuge or hiding were just kind of dissolving and melting down. And my helpers, people that have been helping to get a new level of alignment in my body, are finding suddenly that I can hold a new center of balance and feel comfortable and good in that place. So that you get to reflect for yourself by looking back in the last 2 weeks where the sense of you're either an unmet need coming forward or a pattern of safety that you may have put out there that doesn't let you be fully your own self or doesn't give you the grace of your own essence fully. It's wonderful to take some reflection time and put it in perspective, because there are probably one or two incidences that might have happened in your world that will give you special cues as to how to come into your essence in a new way. So we talked about the power of committing. We have that image symbol of what commitment looks like. Mine was the archer shooting the arrow into the universe. That powerful symbol that we can place inside and recognize that anytime that we commit to something, we have the strength of our intuitive body helping us. When our intuitive side helps us with our commitment, it becomes much more gentle, much more obvious, and much more empowering. So that whatever it is that we're committing to, and primarily here we were recognizing that we're committing to our spiritual presence. That means we're committing to our essence. We're committing to feeling happy and capable and wise and courageous and life-filled. So where we're going to start today is it's safe to feel good. It's safe to feel good. If you got your pencil and paper there, write it down. It's safe to feel good. That in the sense of safety, we want to explore what does that mean? What does it mean to feel safe? What does it mean to feel good? So let's start with safety. And if we're going to start with safety, we're going to have to, again, practice the sense of being open to the universe. So let's just breathe into our belly and practice here. Let's practice open. Feel the expansion. And really bring it right down into your belly. Nice, wonderful vitality center. Just giving yourself permission to open. And so what do we notice in open? Things that become obvious to me is that when I'm open, I see the world differently. I actually see more beauty when I'm open. I also have a little edge on discernment. So when something's not going to quite go right, it becomes a little obvious, a little quicker inside when my energy's open. I notice a lot more hip action when I'm open. So I feel energy widening through my hips, and I feel more of that energy going down through the legs and out through the bottoms of the feet to give us a nice solid sense of foundation. This tells us that we're really open, right through the pelvic girdle, open. It's beautiful. We have a nice collective open here. It's wonderful. Okay? Just for contrast, just to see what your body does, you know it's coming. Let's close. And track it in yourself. Track it. What happens when your energy goes to close? So I feel shorter, my tummy feels a little more upset, and I'm almost like there's a tendency to want to curl up in a ball a little bit, go back to that little curled up place. Okay, now let's open. So our commitment was to stay open to ourselves. Said not to worry. It's not about having to be open to the outside world right now. That might not be appropriate. It's not always appropriate to be open in every situation to the outside world, but it is very essential that we stay open to ourselves. That's what I feel allowed me to penetrate my pattern with my sister, was that I was open to myself. So I suddenly could tell where I was and knew that there was a reference point different than before. When you're in a closed position, there's often no reference points of anything other than staying closed. When you're open, even if a part of you wants to step into the old pattern, the open aspect will hold the presence, the spiritual presence that allows the body to heal and allow you to have the room to make new choices. Often on a subliminal level, so we don't even necessarily have to know, big drum roll, that we're going to do this. It just suddenly, it's happening to us. Open. I think for me, the part that made me really recognized that I had to get serious about this was that when I was closed, I didn't experience having any spiritual presence at all. Actually, I felt like I was living in some kind of vacuum, and I didn't believe that I was being taken care of. In fact, I moved to a much emptier, more absent place. And so as I recognized that I was committing to my spiritual presence, it wasn't that my spiritual presence went away. Ever. It's that I closed down and lost the perception of that presence. That it's always here if we're open. And we acknowledge that we have to give permission for this larger space to be aware, to stay conscious. And our permission means that our conscious mind is available and open to a much bigger picture. So that we have to give permission. And that's what our commitment's allowing, is for us to give permission to be with this presence that's already here. Now, once our body accepts this, then our mental body kind of catches up pretty quickly. So we're wanting to actually get your body to talk to us, and then your mind can, your thinking mind, your analytical processes can figure it out. So the figure it out aspect may come later. The awareness may be there and you don't even know exactly what you're seeing or experiencing, and then at some point the whole thing just moves you to the bigger picture and it all makes sense. I sat in that space of kind of empty, absent energy from being overloaded with the negativity of my childhood, as I moved into that paradigm, I was there for about a day before I recognized and remembered what it was. But I felt a really powerful strength of presence that was there all the time. So that means I've got a part of my being that can track and stay aware of the presence. And that's what it means to be open to ourselves. When I was learning this, I would say that the longest I sat around in the dark waiting for the light to come was about 3 days. That's not really long when you think about it. When I go back to earlier times, I might have been like light went on every 10 years or so. So, you know, it's like we're making progress. So that with the sense of coming back in, it's safe to feel good. We're acknowledging this space of being open. Now, when we introduced this open, there was a lot of earlier teachings that had come, people talking about being open, and thought that the idea of being open meant they were absorbing everything that was in the room. So when they opened themselves up, they became like a sponge, and they just absorbed whatever was going on in the room, and then from that point, we'd sort of take it all home and wring it out slowly. That's not the kind of open that we're looking at here. This open is a generating influence, more than a soaking up space. So if you're soaking up, there's a sense of giving yourself permission to look at why you would be taking that energy into your body. And so on an energetic level, we need a healthy no around being open so that you're clear of what it is that you want to absorb from your environment and where it is you need to be radiating energy out into the world in a way that you could then have a sense that you could help or give. Or if you're in a situation that feels toxic and is not healthy for you to be there, that it gives you the strength to get up and leave the room. And it's safe to leave the room. Let's go back over that again. So here we are, and we're open, and we're acknowledging that open is a generating influence, that openness is my essence expanding into my space, that the old view of open would be that I am receptive to my environment around me. This level of opening says, no, we're not necessarily do we have to be open to whatever's going on in the soup. We stay open to our own presence. So we are always connected to that deeper space inside. And if the environment around us is not conducive to the energy that we need to be feeling nurturing and feeling connected, I either move to compassion, having compassion for the part of myself that is affected by the situation. Also, having a sense of listening and discernment to have the courage that if the situation is not right for me, not to have to blame, resent, or make wrong, but to find the courage or the strength to get clear with what does work. And that's the power of the healthy no, from an internal space that allows us to stay open in our environment without sponging up everything that's going on around us. It's safe to feel good. This level of openness keeps generating energy and power into our world and into whatever it is that we're doing. And so that this generating influence is a blessing. So when you're open and you're generating a warm energy in your body and you're cooking soup, your soup is blessed. And everyone who eats from the bowl feels the power of that blessing. That in the sense of openness, whatever it is that you do, whatever it is that you think, whatever it is that you engage in, will have this higher frequency of energy in it that will have the power to heal, the power to awaken, and the power to make happy. So as we're in this level of openness and we feel a generating influence here where there's a sense of aliveness, this is our essence expanding into our world. So let's just allow that feeling for it, just to get it in our bodies, to come in. We remember open. And now I'm just going to ask for it to start to generate so that my essence is more accessible, more available. Though we're measuring it with our little instruments, we'd feel the frequency rise in our space. And then whatever we do absorbs that higher frequency. So when we're committing to our spiritual presence, we're committing to this generating influence that literally creates blessing into our environment. If we're looking for words or cues, how would we remember this? How would we do this? We remember gratitude, where I'm giving thanks for the bounty of all that's been given in the moment. And I truly feel grateful for what I'm being given here. So I'm receptive to the grace, and I'm giving it to the world. Compassion has a generating influence within it that allows me to be in a situation that may be difficult and feel that some part of my being, as I call for compassion, can be comforted, can soften, can be gentle. And then from that gentleness, that essence penetrates as wisdom out into our environment. We're playing with our spiritual presence. We're letting it be something tangible, something that we can feel, something that we can know. I have a friend that every time we do potluck, she at the workshop, she'd come to me and go, "Nancy, what did you make?" And I was like, "Well, that." And she said, I knew it already. She said, "I knew that potato salad was yours." She says, "Because you bless your food, and I can taste those blessings." And she's an old devotee from way back, and she understands that process of giving Shakti, of giving this energized influence into whatever we do. So we remember. What has happened for me is that level of blessing, that sense of grace has moved through me, whether I'm conscious of it or not. Because the presence and the energy is already here, there may be times where it's happening through me, and I may be the only one that's not noticing because I'm busy over in some kind of closed space or some kind of old paradigm that doesn't really know how to be aware. But the blessings continue. So let's close our eyes just for a moment here and feel the strength. And just be able to have a sense of openness. And let's be in that place of gratitude for the blessings that come through us every day. The blessings that come through us every day. safe to feel good. So this will be our practice, is being conscious of the blessings that come through us on a daily basis. And our awareness of them make them stronger. This does not come from obligation, from something you're supposed to do or not supposed to do. There's no rule book around this. It's more of a witnessing and a remembering. And if you want to have a sense of activating it within your own mind so that you can be more and more aware of it, the key is gratitude and being able to keep coming back to that sense of awareness that gives you a much deeper and more powerful relationship to the presence that's already here. Nice big breath. So this is a generating influence. Feel your breath as you release. Just gives you permission just to expand. Just feel that sense of open. So that at any point that we're in the sense of expansion and openness, we're going to feel safe. We're going to feel connected because that's the nature of it and how it works. So from this expanded space, we're going to now explore the nature of a safety field and what it actually is, how it functions. So for me, I love to understand and figure everything out. It's wonderful. At the same time, I have to accept it may go beyond my reasoning or how it all works, so that on some level, as I don't worry so much about how a telephone actually works or how my computer works, I just like to push the buttons and get it to do what I want it to do. Safety field operates in the same way. Most all the fields that I'm working with here, I name them and then I witness what happens to my consciousness as this field is engaging. So I'm a little guinea pig a lot of the times where I'll call a certain field and get a sense of what it means and how we feel that. So that often in large states of emergency, I remember a woman telling me of a time when she got into an automobile accident. And she said that her biggest experience was that time slowed down, hugely slowed down. And she said it was like this pink pillow that came and just protected her, and so that she felt that she was just hitting up against a pillow. And she came out of the accident pretty much unscathed. It made me remember how many times where I might have been in situations where, a hair's edge more, and I could have been in some serious trouble, either from something happening or a certain fall. And there was this sense of, it's almost like grace stepping in and just easing it out. And I attribute that to the safety field, to the sense that there's a larger awareness looking after me. And I think it's, when I was younger, man, I booked on it. It was the Mr. Wizard. You know, you get yourself to the edge of the of time and go, okay, I'm really in trouble. Mr. Wizard, Mr. Wizard. I don't know if you remember that as a cartoon as a child. And I would just call Mr. Wizard. And I would just feel the sense of being brought back to center, brought back to clarity. So the safety field is something that we use anytime we feel that we need to be protected, or any time that we have a sense that we are going to open and we're not comfortable with that opening, we need to feel safe. And especially as we are opening to getting needs met that aren't used to having energy in them and feeling energy in our body that we usually don't necessarily open to, the safety field is going to be really important to keep us stable as we move into the next paradigm. So pretty much for me, that we're going to be back to that sense of, I'm going to be identifying what I'm feeling, right? So that fear, it's like any level of fear that's going to register in my body is going to be a contraction. Where am I going to be in the most fear? When my energy body is closed. So that my closing my energy field would be my old safety field. The old way I did it. And it's got its whole story to it. If it's right, we'll cover the story of the old safety field. But the most important piece is that we have a sense of recognizing that the old one won't work anymore, and we need to get open to the new. So just when we came to the sense of opening and close, if there's any time that my energy body is closed at this point, I'm going to be calling for safety field. Because there's something going on in my system that's closing down my energy and my awareness. Even if it's just an old program, I need to feel safe in order to reconfigure that energy. So let's call for the safety field in the expanded awareness we've been standing in and just get a feeling for it. The part I find that is most interesting is that most of the time my safety field is pretty invisible. So I just feel safe. I can't say that I have a safety field. I don't need a safety field because I feel safe. It's that elegant. So where we're going to notice this again is at any point that our energy is in the old. So here's where we're going to be investigating our energy field. Is we're going to be noticing if we're in the old safety field. So in any time that you are defending, blaming, self-imploding, or living in resentment, you are in your old safety field. Let me tell you again, these are some cue cards, right? Some of those wonderful places that said, I went there not because I wanted to, but because I felt I was forced. I didn't mean to react in that kind of way. It just happened, right? That means that your old safety field is so well-versed and so well-programmed that it operates almost as an instinct. Some people think their old safety fields are part of their instinctual body, and maybe true. So our old protector guardians to defend, right? So let's play with this, right? It's like, these aren't going to hurt us. What does it feel like to go to defensive? Track your body. What does defensive feel like? Where do you tighten? Where does your energy close? What happens when you go to defense? Do you have a shield? Do you put up a shield? Do you have to explain yourself to make sure the other person gets what's going on and that you're protecting your honor? What does blame look like? Let's bring blame into your body. What does blame do? So these are not bad, but they make messes. I sometimes think of my blame, it's like at one point when Errol and I used to blame each other, we made this agreement to not shoot at each other, you know, shoot at the couch, shoot the blame anywhere, because if we were going to recover in anywhere faster than 3 days, if we got pierced by that level of intense self-judging and shooting that energy out there, the venting codes, then it just took a long time to heal. We can do damage with this stuff. Now, what is self-implosion? What does it look like when you take all that in and make yourself wrong in the same way that you would have made someone else wrong. Let's, again, I just want a cue card here so you know that you're there. Because the unfortunate part for us is because, again, it bypasses our thinking mind sometimes. We're in that level of reaction before we even know that we got there. And our fourth piece is, where is resentment in your body? Now, if you don't have some of these, this is a sign of good health. If you do have them, they are messengers. They are basically saying that there was no other way for you to protect yourself in the past, and so this was what you had to do. So we want a lot of mercy here for these old protector guardians. They're here to serve you. They will leave their post only when you replace them with something new. And if this is all you had, thank God you had something. Because whatever negativity or harm that may have created these in the first place, you didn't make it up. It came from somewhere. Okay, let's take a breath, and let's now just bring a huge, huge ray of compassion down and let it go to all these old protector guardians. Again, these protector guardians, the defender, right? The one with the shield. The blame, the one with the gun. Just compassion to our old guardians. These guardians are protecting your essence. That's their job. So I want you to be grateful to them. Go to each one of them and express your gratitude to the defender, to the blamer, to the self-implosion, the unworthiness, the sense of shame, the sense of not being good enough. And the resentment of feeling that you are being made to do something that you don't want to do. And you don't know how to say no, so you just get hard and bitter. I want you to say thank you. Say thank you to each one of these as your old guardian protectors. The protectors of your essence. And they will stay in their post until they are replaced. What a powerful moment. When we can truly have gratitude for some of the stronger and maybe most difficult emotions of our life, that we can say thank you. Now, our new safety field is working, or we would not even have gotten this far. So expand now and feel the power of the new safety field. What is it? If our old safety field becomes obvious and real, what is obvious and real around the new one? And we call it new not because it's just got here, but new because your awareness is new within it. So in the new safety field, let's look at the qualities that happen. Open. Self-aware. Discerning as to what is right and real. the ability to say no when necessary. Notice in the new safety field that you can hear and you can see. That we open. So in this, we're strong. And if we move into situations of difficulty, we have much more ability to stay stable. And often in this initiation time, this state of stability, this open, self-contained, listening power will have to gaze upon the part of you that lived in the old guardian space. It may come as someone else walking into your world. It may be a part of you that shows itself in a stronger way. It's like the changing of the guards. And until we have total compassion and understanding to the old guardians, the power is not neutral and therefore cannot shift into the new paradigm. Let's just be quiet just for a moment on that thought, to change from the old guard into spacious awareness that our essence no longer needs to be protected in that kind of way. Our essence is protected through the power of love and compassion and openness. It comes through discernment and the ability to follow our own inner guidance as we hear and know what is right for us. So when I come to this power of the new safety field, it doesn't always just, it's a very grounded and a very dynamic force. It gives me a sense of containment if I need containment. I have used the safety field when I was greeting with a sense of people around me who wanted to be in control and were very, very animate about their need to be in control, and I could feel myself witnessing it but not being activated by it. So that one of the things that we will notice as we are in the new fields is that you don't merge and you don't go into reaction in the same kind of way. So what I found for me was that it was a journey that allowed me to witness the new energies at work. It wasn't like I got my little program and I memorized what the new program was going to do and I just tried to get my mind to do it. It was not really like that at all for me. What it was the act of remembering was just simply often naming what I was feeling or naming the field and witnessing a much larger consciousness moving through me. Just as the painter may not know their ability to paint because the hand is moving far beyond what the mind is directing it to do. And those wonderful accidents that happen that make it absolutely perfect. So we're trusting a process much greater than the thinking, organizing principles of our reality. We're trusting something greater than our ego. Now, within any need that I have, I can set an energy field that will allow that need to be filled. It will fill to the degree that I can open to it, and that may take many, many movements of releasing and letting go. We're not in a hurry here, because there's actually nothing wrong. If anything, I may have to learn to relax into the experience rather than tensing up and trying to get it to go faster. So that we're addressing fear in the many guardians and we're calling for love. So a simple remembering. What do I feel? What do I need? And asking, setting that energy field very specifically. The safety field gives me the space to do this more rapidly and more clearly. I remember faster when I'm safe. So how do I know I'm safe? Because my energy is open. How do I know if I'm not feeling safe? My energy is closed. I can start practicing just by resetting my awareness. Ask my field to open and see what happens. If there's a sense of threat or that my old guardians are in reaction and I'm trapped in some kind of way of being, I'm going to come back and ask for safety. And I'm going to take the energy of the old guardian. Remember Einstein. Energy is transformed. It's not created. It's not destroyed. It's simply transformed. What we've been doing here and the reason that we're gathering together is we're taking energy that's operating on a certain level that's just basically at the end of its cycle and re-energizing it into a new awareness. That we use this for our own self-betterment and our own ease of operation. But underneath it all, as I was coming to developing this program, it was more that we were needing energy on another level to get as conscious as we could be. So we went to where the places where we would be in old reactions, right, or worry. We would go to that part of us that would go into frustration or overwhelm. And we said, let's see if we can get a hold of that energy and see if we can get it to operate on another level. Let's find the elegance of the universe and put it to good work. Here, we're working with the guardian forces, another set of influences that can limit or disappear our energy. Not that there's anything, again, wrong with the system. It's just at this point, as we're shifting to a new paradigm, if the old guardian protectors were like an egg, the egg allowed us to form ourselves into a certain life, and at some point that shell has to break for life to go into its next level. We're at the breaking of the shell in our psyche to open to another level. And so we're uncomfortable in our old defense mechanisms. We're uncomfortable being closed. Wow, is that a good sign? Let my uncomfortableness keep signaling me to go to a new way. How do I get there? What do I get? How do I get to this new way? Well, what am I feeling? And what do I need? Not some fancy something, but what is it that I actually need energetically in this moment? To become more grounded, to become more present, to become more here, more effective. And we name that and set the field. So I'd like to play with us working with the frustration, worry, overwhelm. And so I decided to throw the three of them in a bowl and we'll choose numbers again. And I don't even know which one they're going to be now, so you can't even read my mind and figure it out now that you know the game. I chose and got worry, which was where I've been focusing in it. I got frustration pretty down and overwhelm I played with forever, so that worries my piece, and sure enough, I got it again, so universe was right. So let's choose a number 1, 2, or 3. So my number 1 here is going to be overwhelm. So remember, in that power of the overwhelm, the key is for us to get comfortable doing, getting grounded, doing one thing at a time, setting down that priority list so that we know what it is. And also an aspect of overwhelm I played with is when I take in too much energy and I'm not able to digest it, that sometimes my overwhelm just encourages me to stop for a moment, go for a walk, re-signal, reorganize internally, and what we're calling for is solution. The reason that we come to the writing down process is we want to engage both sides of the brain so that we have a real sense of being connected. So in the overwhelm, we want to name the state that you're in and its underlying feelings, like whether you're feeling helpless or absent, feeling an intensity, feeling it's too much to digest. Be willing to recognize what your priority is and identify your next step and do one thing at a time. And again, call for gratitude that you have the energy to do what you're being called to do. I've had overwhelm numerous times when I'll take on a project, like a study program, and not have a clear sense of what it's going to be or how well I would be able to orchestrate it. And I would not know my own skill if I didn't put myself in the driver's seat of the reality. And so I go through that sense of overwhelm as the information comes down and gets connected so that we can experience the magic. It's a process. So my number ones are overwhelm. Number twos, frustration. So with that sense of frustration, again, we want to make sure that we understand what we're frustrated about, right? So what is it? What's the problem? What do we want? Where do we want to go? Identify where you want to go or whatever your problem is. Be willing to write it down and wait. So you wait for the answer. You wait for the solution. It's like waiting is a very important piece with frustration because it's going to recalibrate you to the level that you're on. It's like you're hitting the wall because you're on the wrong level. When we call for that sense of naming the process or naming the problem as we wait, problem comes. So number three, you've probably figured it out now, yeah? You're the worry. Worry says, make sure that we're compassionate here. Worry is really tricky. Compassion is so important. If patience is important to frustration, compassion is essential for worry. And we identify what our concern is and find out if we have it within our control. We ask for the energy focus to step into solution. And if it's out of our control, we give it over. I have a friend of mine, and she's in the process of dying, and there's nothing that any of us can do at this point except to hold steady and wish her to be comfortable and to be able to have a sense that she's going to find the strength and the connection to face her death, which is what she's doing now. So when I'm sitting with her, I have to accept that it's out of my hands. It's out of our control. And so all we can do is sit and listen. So the power of worry gives us that ability. I would ask, what can I do to help? The universe says, make soup. So I make soup and bring it to her. So the energy that wanted to do something, that wanted to help, does something specific. And with that soup, there are blessings that are put into every little carrot and every little pea and every little onion. And we bless the soup and bless the soup. And it's like she totally gets it when we bring it over. It makes it happier than happy can be. So we're reassigning here so that you can have a sense of operator. If you got the same one, you'll know that you're on the right track and that you just keep applying the principle. The key is that we're using this to help you remember that you can take ordinary, everyday reactions that you're going through and be able to use them as a flag to remember your spiritual presence. So, again, we're not out to fix you or make you better. We're just trying to get a hold of a way to help you come to a deeper understanding of your magnificence and of your presence. And our other little piece of assignment that we brought in here is around our old protector guardians. So that we want to find out when you're in reaction to something, what's going on, and be willing to get to know your old protectors so that you can reinstruct, you can give a sense of consciousness and awareness of how you can come to a sense of being in your world and live in more harmony rather than being caught in places that basically their job is to protect your essence by closing you down and basically disappearing your life force. So we say thank you, and we're on to new ways. I opened a little book. It's called The Guide for the Advanced Soul. It's a book of insight. And I thought, give me a statement here for all of us. And this is from Shakti Gawain from Creative Visualization Book. Every moment of your life is infinitely creative, and the universe is endlessly bountiful. Just put forth a clear enough request, and everything your heart desires must come to you. Everything your heart desires must come to you. So all we're doing here is getting out of the way. So meditation time. Allow yourself to get comfortable. We're going to do expansion meditation here. So nice big breath. Coming full circle. Remember, as we open our class together, we went to that open space, open, expand. We acknowledged gratitude as a means of bringing even more comfortability in the space of open. That in open, we're not pushing. We're simply letting the space be comfortable, that we have more room in our awareness to breathe. We have more space in our mind to consider. We have more room in our heart to appreciate. Nice big breath. Within this meditation time, we want to instill not only this feeling of expansion and gratitude, we want you to develop a really good sense of humor, a playful attitude that gives you the space to play with your old guardian protectors, to make a little more room here so we don't take them or yourself so seriously. When you are in a reaction or you are defending yourself, that we just make more space and allow a sweetness a sweetness. Nice breath into the heart. And filling your space with light. We're making a blessing. We're in a generating influence where we're using your breath and all the energy available within this moment to just feel the sense of goodness and grace. We're allowing your essence to expand. At any point that it feels like it's too much, just stop and rest. And if it feels a little too much new territory, we call for a safety field. So we can just be comfortable exploring and opening to what's just right for you. Feel the strength in the base of your spine and use your breath to direct your energy downward, right into your hips, right into your hip joints, and feel the energy moving all the way down the legs and out to the bottoms of the feet. And as we are exploring here, if you find anyone else's energy in your field, someone that you have felt that you have to take care of, someone that you feel that you have to protect yourself from, in any way that one of your guardian protectors has a big job, especially if we feel impossible to get out of it, we want to take that energy. You'll feel it almost like a heavy mass. And we want to place it on the altar. So if you're in obligation to take care of someone, we just want to lift that up and the resentment that comes along with it and just place it on the altar. Place it on the altar. If you have a sense that there's some kind of negativity in your world that keeps coming, that you have to protect or defend yourself from, that is going to steal your essence or steal your privacy or take away your life force, let's take that energy, that defending space, and place it on the altar. So remember the altar that we have in big nature, the mountain, the lake, the ocean, the space where you trust nature to carry this load and transform the energy, as sacred mountains always do. Let's take the part that lives in that self-imploding that takes negativity and soaks it into the core because you think that that's who you are or that's what you have to do in order to survive, that lives in a sense of unworthy or shame, that gathers around a sense of self-deprivation. Let's take that part, the way you try to save others by sacrificing yourself. Let's take that part and put it on the altar. And one more guardian. The power of our blame. That hypervigilant part of us that can see it out there and points our finger at out there and tries to ground whatever is uncomfortable out into the outside world, something that we could control. So that part of us that wants to control the world to be, in order to feel safe, we take that part of our nature, that wonderful guardian, and again, we place it on the altar. That as we place these powers on the altar, they begin to change and transform, and it will be yours to witness how this transformation unfolds. In any way that you are not capable of trusting or knowing your essence, these guardians will act in full force in the old way, which tells you that your essence is alive and well, but hidden, possibly hidden even from yourself. As we trust and commit to our spiritual presence, it gets bigger. Feel that. It embraces all of these wonderful guardian protectors. But it cracks the egg and allows a new way of being in our essence. To be able to acknowledge that our essence needs no protection when it's conscious. When it is endowed in the power of the wisdom mind. So as children, that was not quite strong. That part of our brain was not quite developed. Now we have access. It is the time we have access. So feel the strength of the wisdom. And feel your words of power coming deeply in. And giving in your heart a fullness, a foundation, compassion, truth, clarity. Feel it moving all the way down through the base of the spine, grounding into the earth. So we ground it into the earth and we use the earth's sacred current to hold some of our larger processes of transformation, the shifting of the guards, the allowing of a deeper power to become conscious within. Feel it moving all the way down your spine. Feel the richness and this great depth of connection. Remember your symbol of commitment? Place it in your heart. That all you're committing to in this moment, truly, is awareness. And skillful means so that every moment becomes a blessing. Every moment generates and opens and energizes this blessing into the world. And the greatest blessing of all is that you, within your deepest heart's desire, are part of this, are conscious of this, and endorsing this blessing into the world. As the great weavers of time, you bring this wisdom and compassion into conscious focus. Nice big breath in the heart. Allowing your body to say yes. Remember that congruent yes that says yes to safety and yes to expansion and yes to this depth of wisdom and knowing. And whenever you feel ready, you can stretch and open your eyes. So good work. And know we're with you. Know that the power of the crystal is active, that we're together so that you know each other, share your process with each other, and keep the strength of happiness, of being able to celebrate that no matter what happens, that you're conscious, so that we're filtering out this rights and bads and goods and all this kind of striving stuff into more of a sense of it's a party. It's a play, and we get to see how it unfolds every moment. So our greater aspiration here is this power of gratitude and the willingness for you to witness that every moment is a blessing unfolding in your heart. Thank you for the work you do. Aloha.